Turn with me tonight to the book of Nehemiah. I'm so glad that that song we're singing about Shout Now, that God has never failed me, amen? Has he ever failed you? Never once. We serve a God that has a perfect track record, amen? Undefeated of all time. He says it, it's going to happen, amen? Book of Nehemiah chapter 1, again, it's good to be in God's house. Thanks to Pastor for allowing me to preach tonight. And with the help of the Lord, we're going to do our very best. Nehemiah chapter 1 through verse 4 is where we're going to read tonight. And I'm reading out the New Living Translation. It says, these are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of, however you say that name, Hakaliah. That's close enough. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hananiah, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some of the other men who had just arrived from Judea. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. Verse 3 said, they said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The walls of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. And when I heard this in verse 4, I sat down and wept. And in fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this day, this Palm Sunday, Lord, that we have celebrated, Lord, when you entered into the town of Jerusalem, Lord, on your triumphal entry. And Lord, we know that this coming week we're going to celebrate your death, and then we're going to celebrate the resurrection, Lord. And thank you that you are alive. Father, we pray that, Lord, you'll take this message tonight, Lord, that you've laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that I would get out of the way, and I pray that you're anointing, God. Your word is anointed, but God, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to use my lips tonight to speak your word. In your name we pray, amen. You can grab a seat tonight. If I want to talk to you tonight with the help of the Lord about we need a wall. And no, I'm not talking about what is in politics. I'm not going to be talking about politics tonight and what's going on at our southern border, even though I have my own opinion about that. And if you ask me, I'll tell you. But I think we need some protection in our country. Amen. But I want to talk about that some other time. But tonight I want to talk to you about we need a wall. And how many of you tonight can agree that you know, we have walls and we have fences and we have doors that protect us, right? That keep things out, things that we don't want in. Maybe a mother-in-law or father-in-law we don't want to see come over, right? No, just teasing. Or maybe a varmint or some type of animal. We've got doors and we got fences to keep things coming into our house, right? A show of hands, how many of you tonight have a front door in your house? That should be everybody, right? Hopefully you have a front door. How many of you have a lock on that front door? Hopefully everybody does, right? And how many of you actually lock it at night, right? We have these for protection. We don't let anybody come to our home, right? Only people we invite. And we have those for protection. Why is there a door? There's a door, and why is there a lock? Because, again, we don't just want anybody to come into our home. But we build walls and fences to keep people out and keep them from coming into us if we don't want to be there. And it was no different in Nehemiah's time. The city of Jerusalem had walls all around it to keep the enemy from coming in. From the time that it was built, it's one of the most ancient cities of all time, but it didn't become the capital of Israel until David came and took it and became the king, the city of Zion. And he began, and that's where Solomon built the temple. But there was walls around Jerusalem to protect it from the enemies. And back in those days, if you had a city, it had a capital, you built a wall to protect it. Because then you didn't want the enemy just to come in and take your city. And on top of that wall, they'd put a watchtower. And the watchtower would be there, and some soldier would get up in it, and he would be on the lookout for the enemy. Not only did they have a wall, but they had somebody on the tower to watch for the enemy when he may come and he may invade, and to protect them. Now, Nehemiah's time, he was living in Babylon captivity. He had been taken, or possibly his parents had been taken to Babylon when Jerusalem fell. And he was there in Babylon, but he wasn't just passing time, but he had actually had a seat in the government. And thankful tonight, even though as messed up as Washington, D.C., that there is some good men and women that are Christians that are serving in the government, amen? I hear people all the time say, well, this congressman and that congressman is no good. You can't be a Christian and run. Well, I pray that more Christians run. Because it's those people that are in Congress, that are in Washington, D.C. right now, that are keeping our government, keeping the judgment of God from coming upon us. Amen? There's people that are serving. But Nehemiah was in a high position. In fact, he was the cupbearer of the king. And so he could see the king from time to time. But on this particular day, the Bible says that he asked some friends and his brother, and they came over, and he wanted to hear a report about what was going on. Because some of the children of Israel, almost said kids of Israel, we call them the children of Israel. I guess you could call them kids in our modern day language. But the children of Israel, some of the children of Israel had went back to the city of Jerusalem. And he wanted to hear a report what was going on. And the report that came back to him wasn't good. As we read in the verses, it said the walls were burned down, the gates were burned down. And he didn't like this report, church. He didn't like what he heard. Instead of crying about it, instead of griping about it, like we would do a lot of times, how many gripes about politics and about things going in D.C., but we don't do anything about it? When we could go pray about it, right? And we could do something about it, but we don't. But Nehemiah did. Nehemiah, Bible says that he fasted and he prayed. Whatever that was, I just about knocked it off. But he prayed and he did something about it. He fasted and he went before the king as he just did his job. And as he went before the king seen that something was going different about Nehemiah. And I'm paraphrasing just a little bit, but just to speed it up. But he went before the king, and the king seen something was different, and he asked him what was going on. And Nehemiah told him. Nehemiah told him that how could he be happy when his kindred, when his hometown was being ransacked. And so the king gave him permission, and he went to the town and went back to Jerusalem. And he had a burden for this home, his home country. And we read in Nehemiah, turn over to chapter 2. Read verses 11 through 17 real quick, just to paint the background. So when Nehemiah has left, now he's gotten permission from the king to go back to Jerusalem. And in chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "So I arrived in Jerusalem 3 days later. I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. I had not told anyone about the plans God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. We took no pack animals with us except the donkey I was riding. And after dark, in verse 13, I went out through the valley gate, past the jackal's well, and over to the dung gate to inspect the broken walls and burned gates. Then I went to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but my donkey couldn't get through the rubble. So though it was still dark, I went up to the Kidron Valley instead inspecting the wall before I turned back and entered again at the valley gate. And the city officials did not know I had been out there or what I was doing, for I had not yet said anything to anyone about my plans. I had not yet spoken to the Jewish leaders, the priests, nobles, officers, or anyone else in the administration. But now I said to them in verse 17, you know very well what trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace." Church, the city laid in ruins. This once great city that King David had conquered and built and became the city of David now stood in rubble and stood with the walls burned down and the gates burned down and the temple of God was burnt to the ground. And it was a bunch of rubble and this great, great city. And church, today here in let me back up just a little bit. The city laid in ruins and there was nobody to protect it. Nobody could keep the enemy out. The enemy could just do what he wanted to do and invade and do whatever to the city of Jerusalem. In fact, if we read the rest of the story of Nehemiah, we find that that's what happened. Other people came in and tried to run the city. And church, tonight here in America, in the land of free, just like in Nehemiah's day, we face a wall crisis. This great country of ours that was founded by men who were Christians, men of God, who founded this country, who were believers and believed in religious freedom. Give me just a second. My wife told me I had too many notes, and I've got to figure out a new system, and I think I did print out too many notes, but they're getting all jumbled up, but I'm going to preach anyways, amen? For over 200 years, we had walls. We had walls that stood up and protected our country, that protected us. One of those walls was the wall of prayer. We had a wall of prayer for over 200 years, from the time the pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock and founded this country, basically, and from the time of the great revival, the great awakening revival of Jonathan Edwards, this country was founded on prayer all the way up to the Pentecost movement. Our country, we were a praying country. We had people that knew how to get a hold of God, amen? We went through the Civil War. We went through World War I and World War II, and we prayed in our country. We had this wall of prayer. But then on June 25th, 1962, the Supreme Court ruled that prayer was no longer allowed in public school. And just like that, the wall came down. You see where I'm going tonight, church? Jerusalem had walls. And once the walls fell, the city fell. And we had this wall of prayer that this country was founded upon. And suddenly, in 1962, in a blink of an eye, when the church was asleep, the wall came down. And public school, for now, for the last 57 years, God has been out of our public schools. And we wonder why the school is where it's at tonight. Look today where we're at in our public schools. Evolution is taught as a fact in school, and we can't even mention the word truth about creation. You go to the college campuses, and they're even worse. You know, college is supposed to be a place where you debate, and you try to figure out things, and if you have an opinion, and you try to back it up. They won't even accept creation. They totally shut it out. Prayer was a wall, and it came down, and the enemy just walked right in and took what he wanted to tonight. That's one wall. The wall of marriage tonight, church. Since the beginning of creation, God has made man and woman, and he created the institution of marriage. Amen? And that was a wall that has been stood for thousands and thousands of years. However old the earth is, if you're a young earth or an old earth, whatever you believe in, it doesn't really matter tonight, but the marriage has been there for years and years and years. And it's a wall that has taken hits over the years, but it stood over the years. Adam and Eve, from the time they were born, or they were made, and then they had children and offspring, and times marriage would take hits, but it still stood, this wall still stood. But then came the 1960s. The 1960s were a fun time for you, those of you that lived in them, huh? I thought I'd at least get a laugh or two from that. I didn't live in the 60s, but from what I've heard, they were pretty crazy. But the 1960s brought us the sexual revolution. And this wall of marriage suddenly had a dent and started becoming cracked. And slowly and methodically, the wall come down. Divorce began to take place. You see, it wasn't no coincidence that there was a sexual revolution in the 1960s. That wasn't just no, it was planned methodically by the enemy. And this wall of marriage began to crumble. And pretty soon, the 70s and the 80s passed on by. And families began to be destroyed. And it was first out in the public. And then pretty soon the church, you begin to see divorce in the church. And back when I was in school back in the 80s and the 90s, I may have had one or two, maybe three fellow classmates that had divorced parents. And now in 2019, you're lucky to find one or two parents that are even married. That's where we're at tonight, church. This wall has fallen, and the enemy has walked right in and destroyed families for generations. We had a wall of prayer, we had a wall of marriage, and the enemy has taken these walls and he's crumbled them down. Marriage, which we call holy matrimony, because it paints a picture of God and his bride, the church. You know that God has taken and he compares marriage to him and us. We are the bride, and he's going to come back for us, and we are married to him. We are betrothed to him tonight, church, and he's coming back for a pure white church, amen? And it's called holy matrimony for a reason, but now marriage has become unholy, and anybody can marry anybody. You see, the homosexual movement has said they just want themselves to get married, but as soon as that door opens, look what else is going to come. I heard here a while back that a woman in Seattle wanted to marry a building, so they gave her the permission. How crazy is that? But that's what happens, church. How absurd. Look it up. It actually happened. The wall of prayer, the wall of marriage, and then there's the wall of life. Once you have the wall of prayer to fall down, the wall of marriage fall, next is the value of life. We have heard all the horrors of World War II. And what the Nazis did to the Jews, right? You've read the history books. You've seen it on TV. And we go back and study history. It makes you sick. And it should make you sick to your stomach if you've seen the images of what happened in World War II. How could a man, how could a country be so evil that they would do that to another human being? Historians tell us 11 million Jews were killed during the Holocaust. Yet in 1973, our Supreme Court ruled Roe versus Wade that abortion was legal in all 50 states. Since that time, which was 46 years ago approximately, over 54 million babies have been murdered. Did you hear that number tonight, church? Let me tell it to you again. 11 million Holocaust, the Jews, 54 million babies, and that's an approximate. We should be shocked. Where's the church been? I know there's been advancement, and there's been pro-life, and there's even statistics showing that the millennial generation, and I can't remember what the statistics are, but that they're pro-life, more pro-life than pro-choice. I said almost pro-abortion, but yeah, pro-choice. The wall fell hard. At first, it was inside the womb, abortion inside the womb, and now here in 2019, we just saw two states a couple months ago, and they all the way up to outside of the womb, and they laughed about it and signed their bills. See what the enemy does, church? The wall comes down, and then he takes even more ground. You see, the enemy doesn't stop once the wall goes down. He gets to the wall falls, and then he heads for the city, and then he heads for the temple. You see, in the city of Jerusalem, there was the temple of God that Solomon built. And it's where the Jews, it was their pride and joy, so to speak. And once the wall came down, the soldiers marched, and they burnt the temple down and took and ransacked the house of God. Tonight, church, that fourth wall is the church. You see, the enemy, that's what the enemy wants to fall. He wants the church. He takes all these other walls, and he begins to get them to crumble, and then he can come and get the church. You and I tonight, again, we're the bride, and we are the church, and the enemy can't stand us. If you're a Christian, he hates you, like Pastor said this morning, I believe. You're enemy number one to him because he cannot stand you. Because you're a child of God. He doesn't get to enjoy what you enjoy. He thought himself better than God, and he tried to overtake God, and he got kicked down. He got put down. And God has since that time, and God had a better plan for mankind, and the enemy can't stand that. He wants what you have. He wants that power that you have. And it's not the power that we have, but it's the power of God, amen, that lives in us. But the enemy can't stand you. That's why he's attacked these walls. And now he wants the church. He has come and attacking the church over the years. He's lured the church. That's not even a word, is it? He's lured the church to sleep over the years. And that's why the church has been silent in prayer, silent in marriage, silent on the issues of life. Church, we should be standing up, and we should be declaring to our senators and our congressmen and women, we are the church. Like Pastor said this morning, it used to be they would reference the church and call out the church and see what the church is doing. Now they don't even bother with us. Church, where have we come? The enemy has taken, and he's taken those walls down because he hates us and he wants to see us destroyed. So what do we do tonight? Do we give up? Do we throw in the towel? Like Brother Hewitt preached a few weeks ago, did we throw it in the towel even though it'd be easy to do? No. We rebuild the walls, church. We need a wall. We need walls rebuilt tonight. We need to rebuild these walls. We need a wall of prayer. We need a wall of marriage and a wall of life and a wall of revival tonight, church. That's how all these other walls are going to be rebuilt, if we get a wall of revival built. And that starts with you and I. You see, Nehemiah looked all around him, and he saw the city, and it was in ruins as he went in that night, and he began to look, and it says he couldn't even get through one pass because there was so much rubble on his donkey, and the whole city was destroyed, and no doubt his heart was crying because this was once the great city, and here it was torn apart, and it was nothing but a heap of rubble. But notice what he said in verse 17. He said, "But now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we are in." Church, we're in trouble here in America. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall and end this disgrace. Church, let's rebuild this wall tonight. Let's rebuild the wall that once stood. Amen? Let's rebuild the church. Let's rebuild marriages. Let's rebuild the wall of prayer. You say it's impossible, that those things are not going to happen again. Church, it can happen again. The Bible says in Matthew 19:26, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible tonight, church. If he said it, I believe it, and it can happen. Nehemiah led a revival, and in fact, he got that wall built in 52 days. No telling how long it took him to build the original wall, but he built it in 52 days. And remember, they came along, I think it was Sanballat and Tobiah, and they made fun of him. They said, even if a fox goes across that wall, it'll fall. And you know what? He just kept working on it. And they kept fighting. And they had a sword up one day and their tools in the other hand another day. And the enemy came and they tried to laugh at him and mock him, and that's what the world will do to us and say, it's no good, you're no good, and you're funny, and you're old and old-fashioned. But church tonight, I'd rather be old-fashioned and see the move of God, amen, and see that wall rebuilt. We need to rebuild the wall tonight, church. We need revival. We need revival to sweep through the church to rebuild these walls. If you'll stand with me tonight, as I'm getting close to Brother Chris, if you'll come back. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, I know you know the verse, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Tonight, church, we need healing. We need walls we rebuilt. We need God to intervene in our lives. Amen. That's all we have to do. The Bible says right there, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. That's how we begin to build the wall, as we humble ourselves, begin to say, pray for our country and pray for the transgressions. You say, well, it wasn't me. Yeah, but it was others that is before us, and it's all of us together. We're a country. Last time I checked, it took all of us to make the country, amen? That's where the church of God, that's where the church, the living church of God, needs to come together and ask for forgiveness. And I believe we have, and we're doing that. I believe that's what sustained us from the 2016 election. You could say you're crazy, but I believe it was because men and women of God got on their knees and began to pray. And we saw the greatest upset. But we need healing tonight, church. Ezekiel 22:30 says this. It says, I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap, in the wall, so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found no one. Possibly the saddest verse in the Bible. God looked for somebody in Jerusalem, in Israel, in Judah. He just needed one person to say, I will stand in the gap. And the Bible says he found no one. And because he found no one, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, because God is a just God. And the city sinned and kept sinning. And he sent prophet after prophet, and they did not hearken. And so the city was taken. And here Nehemiah had to go back to a city with no walls. The church, the Bible says in this verse, it says, I'm looking for someone who will rebuild the wall of righteousness. Is there anybody in this room tonight, in this building, that would be, that wants to rebuild the walls of righteousness? Is there anybody that wants to stand up to the enemy and say, not on my watch, not on my watch? All it takes is one person. I look around here tonight, and there looks like there's more than one, if my math is right. There's several. I wonder how many tonight, if you'll bow your heads with me. Father, we come before you. Thank you tonight, Lord, for this night. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the walls of righteousness, Lord, that have guarded us, Lord, that keeps us, keeps the enemy out, Lord. They've taken hits and they've fallen, Lord, but I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to rebuild those walls tonight, Lord, to rebuild those walls that have stood the test of time, Lord, no matter what the world says. They may be old-fashioned or out of date, but Lord, we know your word is truth. Father, thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder tonight here, if you are in this building tonight, in this house, and you want to see those walls rebuilt, if you would just simply come out of your seat and stand around this altar, and we're just going to lock hands together, hold hands, and we're going to begin to pray. If you want to see the walls rebuilt tonight, if you want to see our country come back. And I had this in my notes and I forgot about it, but you say, well, Brother Aaron, I'm just ready for the Lord to come back. Me too. If he comes back right now, hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else excited? I'd like to see him come back and get us out of this mess, because that's what we're in, is a mess. I'd love to see him come back and I wouldn't even have to face Monday morning, go off to work. I could just wave bye to my boss as I'm flying in the air. If that's how it works, I don't care. But church, we're going to be in this world until he takes us out, amen? So we're going to pray, and we're going to come together as a family of God. You guys just circle around. I believe this is unity of church, right? Together, we're going to believe in the power of unity and the power of the church. And no matter what the enemy brings against us, no matter what he tries to break down the walls, that we're going to stand in the gap and we're going to pray for one another. If you guys don't mind hooking up together here to make a circle. The best you can. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord. You see every person in this building tonight, Lord, that have come down here, Lord, to show a sign, God, that they want to see these walls rebuilt, Father. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, your word says to ask, Lord, whatever shall be done in heaven, it shall be bound on earth, Lord. We pray right now, we come before you, Lord, that you will bind us together, Lord, and Father, that you will help us, Lord, to become the church, Lord. That is unified, Lord, that has unity, God, as we pray that these walls will be restored, Lord, that Father, prayer will be restored, Lord, and God, that you will restore marriages, God, the institution of marriage, Lord, and God, that we'll see the abortion laws reversed, God, that Lord, we'll see lives, these babies saved, Father, Lord, we'll see the church begin to thrive, Lord, we humble ourselves, Father. Lord, we pray for the transgressions of our country. And Lord, we just ask that right now, God, that you will restore this great nation, Lord, that was a light for you, Lord. God, that Father, your coming could be any day, but until you come, Lord, help us to be busy at the Father's work. Lord, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room tonight, that Lord, you'll give us the strength to endure the days ahead. Lord, again, bind us together. Lord, help us tonight. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we pray that the walls of righteousness be rebuilt. Lord, help us to stand in the gap. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters tonight. Lord, I thank you for this church. And Lord, as a light into this community, Lord. And God, it's been prophesied, Lord, that this will be a hub. And Lord, we believe it tonight, Lord, that your word said it, Lord. That, Father, that's going to happen, Lord. And Father, we're shouting now tonight, Lord, for what's coming. Lord, we're believing, God, that you're going to do great and mighty things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to your mighty name. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Awesome message, wouldn't you agree? We need to build the wall. It all depends on each one of us individually as we rebuild the walls. God intended. Appreciate that message, Brother Aaron. Don't you love the Lord? Couldn't help but think, people do crazy things in the world. This lady that wanted to marry the building could not help but be nothing but a blockhead. That's all there was to it. Cost you nothing else. Nothing else. You love the Lord anyway? Praise God. Shake hands, be friendly. Have a time of visitation and fellowship tonight in the name of Jesus. See you Wednesday night. God bless you.